I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Everybody's talking about war. What is the first war going on? It's a war of the Islamic regime against its own people. Mm-hmm. We are at war with this regime. Now, defenseless, unarmed civilians have demonstrated in the last few days the total rejection of the regime. They took to the street, they chanted death to the dictator, they chanted that we want an end to this regime. In other words, it's way beyond protest. The response, massive massacre of our citizens. The regime utilizing military equipment from rifles mm-hmm. to tanks to brutalize and kill the people in an unprecedented way. And they continue to do that as we speak. They are in fact entering people's home, clobbering them. They have shot at the rooftops when people were chanting from the rooftops the last 2 days, ever since the internet disruption. So we are talking about an actual conflict. Now, I think the president was absolutely correct when he says there has to be a change of direction.
That is the exiled prince of Iran. And he's referring to a question that was raised over the weekend. President Trump was quoted in Axios as saying, there needs to be a regime change in Iran. They're murdering their own people. They're murdering them. They're slaughtering them. They're using bullets, tanks, whatever they have available. The Revolutionary Guard, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, is carrying out the wishes of the mullahs, the Ayatollah. And yet, God bless them. God bless them. There are still young people, some older, but mostly young, going into the streets, defying and taking their chances. They had no weapons against a rifle, much less a tank or a bazooka. What they have is their voice for freedom. They have what we had when we started this nation, although we did not face the slaughter they are facing at this moment. I know a lot of folks, and I'm not into nation building. I don't want to do that. But this all went south when the Iranian mullahs took over and took over our embassy. And since that day, they have lived under a regime that threatens them daily, reduces them to chattel. Women, you have no rights. Where are the women in our nation that are willing to stand up and say women should have some rights? Where are they? And for that matter, where's Don Lemon Fruitcake? Oh, I'll come to him in a moment. Hey, welcome to hour number one. Larry Connors, USA. Here we are, January 20, 2026. And I'm waiting. We're looking and have him booked. He's on the road, but we think we'll still be able to get him. Gordon G. Chang coming up shortly, an expert on China, and especially how China is viewing what's happening in Iran. And this is a very critical time. President Trump is, of course, going into Davos, Switzerland, and even Axios has to admit he is going into Davos feeling more confident than ever in his own power to shape global events, more willing to, as they say, bully and berate anyone who stands in his way. Just don't stand in his way. He knows what he wants. He knows what he wants, not just for our country, but for the world. And yes, Greenland is part of that. And we'll get into that as well. But in recent weeks, Trump has shown he's no longer content to just... And here's where you see the leftist theme come out. If they're going to try to present themselves as a legitimate news organization, Axios is not. It not only leans left, it stands in the left puddle. But they say Trump in recent weeks is no longer content just dominating the news and the news cycle. He wants to dominate the world. No kings, right? The very people that protested no kings, they were the ones upset because we took a king out of power, Maduro, and brought him back on legitimate charges. Here's the problem with the left. Let me back up. I cannot even begin to list all their issues. But every issue they choose, they have to do flip-flops or ignore it and walk away. Say, we're not into that anymore. Because nothing is working. All right, well, Larry Connors, USA. We're here every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. If you're new to the program, thank you for joining us. If you've been with us, spread the word. Because with Larry Connors, USA, you are going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You will know more when we finish this hour than you do right now. And next hour, how those who hate ICE and what they're doing, I'm going to say it straight out. They hate ICE so much, I'm thinking they must love child predators. That's a far stretch, Larry. You went maybe over your skis there. So be it. Because they seem to be more than willing to defend child predators over our children. Later this hour, I mentioned a moment ago, Don Lemon Fruitcake. He is a sniveling coward. May I repeat that? Well, of course I will, because it's my program. Don Lemon Fruitcake is a sniveling coward. He leads a march into a church in St. Paul, Minnesota the other day. The pastor is a member of ICE. We're going to go in there and disrupt their service. It's a church service. Now, what do you think would happen if some white people went into a black church disrupting it like that? I'd call them out as well. But here's the difference. Here's where Don Lemon Fruitcake proves he's a sniveling coward. Don, why don't you try that in a mosque? Go ahead. Go into a mosque and complain. Because you got many complaints against them because they want to kill you. You're an admitted gay. They don't like you. They would be willing to kill you. But sniveling cowards don't go face a bully that they know will take their life. And also, our story behind the story. This is a story I covered extensively in Houston decades ago. It was called the Huntsville, Texas prison siege, the longest siege at that time on record involving a prison. This is a fascinating story. And we'll have the story behind the story later in this hour. All right, back to dealing with Greenland. Trump still wants Greenland. Our U.S. ambassador to Amsterdam said, you have to stop and think what is really available to protect the U.S. from anyone coming from Soviets, I should say Russia, China. The way she describes it, maybe the biggest power they've got is a couple of dog sleds.
I met with Danish officials last week and, you know, cautioned them, don't go head to head with President Trump. He is looking out for U.S. security, but it's also for your benefit. Greenland is part of that golden dome that President Trump is building for us. That's a lot like the Iron Dome in Israel that protects them from weapons. But this is the 21st century version. So it's essential that we have Greenland. When I was U.S. ambassador, they had about 30 guys in Greenland and two dog sleds. And that's what they called security. Wow. They don't, frankly, have the manpower or the money. They have a small economy, kind of like Colorado. And President Trump understands that Greenland's part of North America, the world's largest island. And when they go independent, and they will in this century, they've promised they want to, he will not allow them to fall into the arms of Russia or China. It would be like a gigantic Cuba just off our northeast coast. Unacceptable.
Well, now, wait a minute. They do have two dog sleds. She did confirm that. That is Carla Sands, our former U.S. ambassador to Denmark. Trump is going into Switzerland for the Davos Convention on dealing with threatening tariffs on Denmark and seven other NATO allies. All of them have sent small detachment of troops to Greenland to protect Greenland. Do you think they really want to get into a fight over Greenland? Of course not. But they're doing it as a gesture. But Trump is saying, I'm ready to move forward if there's no deal reached to hand the island to the U.S. by February 1. Now, I don't know we'll hit the February 1 date, but he's put a date in play. Back to the issue of dealing with ICE and how they continue to round up illegals. And they are gathering some people that might not be the worst of the worst, but if they're working with them, if they're with them at the time, they're all going to be picked up. It's like if you're at a party and you're not doing the cocaine, but cocaine's on the table and police come in, everybody goes to jail. You sort it out later. I want you to go back to 2016, when ICE was carrying out some of these arrests, and CNN, oh my God, they were almost blessing them.
Just before the sun rises in the Windy City, Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents fan out across Chicago to arrest criminals in the U.S. illegally.
Tech 1, Tech 2, Tech 3.
CNN was granted exclusive access to witness some of those raids.
We got three targets this morning. You know, some of the neighborhoods a little sketchy, so we got to make sure it's not just the target we're looking after, but other people around us.
They want to come out extra early, like right now, because they want to catch these people before they go to work. That's why it starts so early in the morning.
Ready to check? All right, let's roll, guys.
A lot of things go through your head. Your adrenaline, blood pressure, of course, goes up when you're getting ready to do something like this.
How many people are involved with this operation, particularly right now?
I have a five-man arrest team here situated in this neighborhood, here on the street.
There's always challenges we face when it's dark, somebody looks very similar to an individual.
ICE agents mistakenly arrest the target's brother.
In the process of talking to him in the vehicle, he then said, oh, no, I'm actually so-and-so. Who you're looking for is over here, this other address. He led us to that address, and we were able to actually arrest the individual we were looking for.
You're with them, you're going to be rounded up. Now, that was 2016. Did you hear CNN condemning ICE? Who was president in 2016? Oh, that was Obama. It was all okay then. And we did not have the mass illegals that we now have thanks to the open border of Joe Biden. Thank you, Joe Biden. Now things are radically different. And the real difference, mass illegals. And, of course, not Obama, but Trump in office. So yesterday, Don Lemon Fruitcake and others decided to storm a church in St. Paul because the pastor works with ICE.
Today in Minneapolis, Minnesota, a group of activists led by Don Lemon stormed a Baptist church by the name of Cities Church during their worship time. They were screaming and chanting, disrupting the singing and the preaching because they suspected an ICE officer may attend the church. This is a violation of what is known as the FACE Act. And not only do we condemn this act, but tonight I want to demand that the Department of Justice investigate what took place in Minneapolis, apprehend those who broke the law, and arrest them accordingly. And I might add, as a subnote, that we welcome all branches of law enforcement to Lancaster Baptist Church.
Yeah,
and so let us pause before we begin tonight and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless and to meet the needs in this situation.
Yes, rely on prayer for sure. But then work as if God's not going to answer it. You got to do it. David Easterwood, the one they were going after, they say, that pastor is an ICE official. And here came Don Lemon Fruitcake out of the thickness of the dark.
What do you think of it?
I mean, this is unacceptable. It's shameful.
It's shameful to interrupt a public gathering of Christians in worship. So,
but there were folks who said,
I have to take care of my flock.
Okay,
my
but listen, we live in there's a constitution in the First Amendment to freedom of speech and freedom to assemble and protest.
Yeah. We're here to worship. We're here to worship Jesus because that's the hope of these cities. That's the hope of the world is Jesus Christ.
I want to be very respectful. Please don't push me though.
We're here. We're here to worship Jesus.
Yes.
That's why we're here. Yeah. Okay. That's why we're here. That's what we're about.
Don't you think Jesus would be understanding
we're about
and worship. Love these folks?
We're about spreading the love of Jesus.
But did you try to talk to them as a
no
Christian?
No one is willing to talk.
Okay.
I have to take care of my church and my family, so I ask that you actually would also leave this building.
You don't want us to
unless
chronicle
to
what
worship.
Happened.
Unless you're here to worship.
I'm always worship. I'm a Christian.
We're here to worship. Yeah. We're here to worship. Okay. Okay.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
There's a guy still trying to be relevant. Lost his primetime network show. So now let's go raid a church. I want to share something with you, and it's you probably already know this, but I'm going to give you a source so you can back it up in case anyone dare ask. Did what they do at that time when they stormed into the church, interrupting the service, causing all kinds of mayhem and fear, you have to consider fear to some extent, did they possibly break any laws? Well, Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche.
It's a crime. And so they will face a jury. If they're convicted, they will go to prison. The FACE Act has been abused by administrations over the years. So when you look at what happened yesterday, you know why that law was passed, and we're going to use it for the reasons that it was meant to be used for, which is to stop this type of conduct. Every single American should be enraged and heartbroken at what happened yesterday in that church. People going to worship, and they are stormed by anti-law enforcement, anti-Christian rioters, and the response that you get from city leaders. Today, the governor just throws his hands up and says, oh, I've always said you should peacefully protest. That is just completely made up. You can listen to what that man has been saying for the past 3 weeks. He has not been encouraging people to peacefully protest. He's been encouraging people to do exactly what they did. And what happened yesterday is a consequence of the governor's words, period.
And I want to point something else out very quickly. Thank God it didn't happen. But a lot of churches now have armed security inside their service. They may be other parishioners who have taken training. They may be off-duty police officers. It wouldn't have taken much for gunfire to start in that service. Thank God it didn't. Coming up, we should have Gordon G. Chang dealing with Iran and China and its actions and the story behind the story. One of the longest prison sieges in history. I was there. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. The best thing I ever did for my neck and back pain was go to Esquire Sports Medicine. Dr. Draghi and his staff can take care of those pains. If they can't, they'll refer you to a specialist. And when you're hurting, you don't want to wait. So often with Dr. Draghi and Esquire Sports Medicine, you're treated within 24 hours. For any joint or muscle pain, contact my doctor, Dr. Draghi, Esquire Sports Medicine, on Big Bend, just north of 40. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. Another day must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing, and the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts? Windows icing up again? Utility costs surging? You're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
One of my guests many of you always love to hear from, and that's Gordon G. Chain. May I suggest you follow him on his Twitter account, at Gordon G. Chain, C-H-A-N-G, because you can stay on top of everything he's doing, even when we don't have him on the air. First of all, Gordon, glad to have you with us.
Well, thank you so much, Larry.
And I want to also take a moment to plug your new book, The Plan Red, China's Project to Destroy America. And therein opens a story with Iran. How much, when I'm looking at some of the stuff with Iran right now, they share a deep strategic partnership. China is Iran's top trade partner right now. What's going to happen if we begin to ramp up action against Iran?
I think that essentially China loses its cheap oil. China takes somewhere between 80% of Iran's exports in crude. That was 2025, or 90%, which was 2024. And this oil is sanctioned, and therefore it is heavily discounted. So China right now depends on a lot of cheap oil because it gets somewhere between 13 to, let's say, 24% of its seaborne oil imports from Iran. And by the way, it's lost a lot of cheap oil from Venezuela. Yeah, so this occurring at the same time is not good for China.
Well, you know, we also have sanctions on oil leaving Iran going anywhere, but I don't see that being enforced.
No, they haven't been enforced. And essentially in 2018, President Trump started to enforce them. But they don't seem to be enforced right now. And that is an issue. Now, President Trump said he's going to put 25% tariff on countries purchasing Iranian crude.
Right.
But let's see if that occurs, because that has not been implemented yet.
With your vast knowledge, are we not trying to enforce the sanctions because of the naval might it would incur? And we've got naval ships all over chasing down false flag ships coming out of Venezuela and the Caribbean and everything else?
Well, we are stretched, but we do have significant numbers of ships around Iran. And the Abraham Lincoln Carrier Strike Group is now sailing through the Straits of Malacca on its way from the South China Sea to the waters off of Iran. So that will be an important addition to America's naval assets there.
Oh, I'm sure they're going to be waving from the shore. Welcome, welcome.
Well, the people will be.
Yeah, they will be.
But
they
not
will
the
be.
Clerics.
And that's the other part of the issue right now. Trump said the other day, in fact, quoted in Axios over the weekend, which is a left-leaning, left-standing publication, we need a regime change. Now, I'm not into nation building, but he's talking about these people are in the streets dying because they're being slaughtered by the military, and all they want is freedom.
Yes, and the numbers are stunning because we don't know exactly how many have been killed and executed, but it's probably somewhere around 12,000.
Wow.
And that is just horrific.
And you would suggest that that's way undercounting, actually, right?
Many people have put the number at a higher figure. You know, because the regime has closed off the channels of communication, we just don't know. But I'm sure that the killing is continuing in the prisons, because there are reports of people who were supposed to be publicly executed who have been beaten to death in prisons.
You know, and where are the so-called people that want to support those in need and so forth in this country, the not standing up for the Iranian people seeking exactly how we started our country 250 years ago, freedom.
Absolutely. And also you have the leftists who complained about Gaza, and, you know, they mentioned killing, but the killing that we have seen in Iran is horrific. Yet we don't see leftist protests about that, which just goes to show what the motivation has been for all the demonstrations over the last couple of years.
The other part of this is Iran needs China more than China needs Iran, correct?
Yes, that's true.
So Iran is basically playing their last card on the table.
In a sense, that's right. China, according to reports that we've been seeing, has sent 16 cargo planes into Iran recently. And that's the question is, what are they bringing in? And the other question is, are they taking anything out?
What do you suggest? Money? Oil? Weapons?
I think probably weapons are coming in. But we don't know. And I imagine that the regime is taking stuff out because we have seen reports of some figures, you know, either making plans for leaving or actually leaving. So I think the regime is starting to show signs of cracks.
And that's a key point. I mean, if the Ayatollahs are truly beginning to lose control, there have been reports, and you have to tell me how accurate these are, that members of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard are just walking away. They're not going to slaughter people like they've been ordered.
Yeah, well, some people have refused to kill protesters, and that's just a sign of their humanity. But as we pointed out, you know, there has been more than 10,000 who have already been killed. So obviously some people are still doing that.
So we also have the situation that what are they doing to make alliances aside from they're not going to be aligning with the U.S. Dable's summit is underway. What can we expect out of that that might affect Iran and our China?
That's a great question, because in Davos this year, at least from the first speeches, it appears that there's a new attitude there, that they are starting to understand that the Davos elites have lost the institutional trust of peoples around the world. You know, I'm not sure that there's anything that people who go to Davos are going to do for Iran. The people to watch are essentially President Trump and Xi Jinping. Those are the two people who can affect events on the ground. And, you know, it's going to be Trump's move, and then we'll see what Xi Jinping does in reply.
So the others are just bit actors at this point. But if it comes down to making an agreement of any type, Greenland, Denmark, those are still key points.
Yes. You know, there's been talk at Davos about Greenland. So, you know, this is obviously on the minds of European leaders because they're rallying to support of Denmark right now.
But are they really doing it, or are they just serving lip service?
About 7 NATO countries have sent military personnel to Denmark, to Greenland in the last week or so. But they're very tiny deployments. We're talking fewer than 5.
Yeah.
But really what they're saying is, President Trump, if you invade Greenland, you're going to be killing NATO members. And so it's a tripwire force.
Well, we have seen NATO be glad with Trump on his first term. He got everybody to contribute more money. And in this case, he's not trying to destroy it necessarily, but he wants to have a realignment. And the other part of it is, what's NATO really going to do, period? They send these little few troops in, a couple bobsleds, that's it.
Yeah, well, on your first point, Trump has been really good for NATO, and NATO's Secretary General Mark Rutte last month said that.
Yeah.
That Trump was able to get NATO members to commit to spending 5% of their gross domestic product on defense. Now, previous American presidents, including Trump in his first term, were not able to do that because they were just trying to sweet talk the NATO members and try to control them and persuade them. That didn't work. It took Trump's rough tactics to get the organization to a point where members were willing to actually make those commitments. So that's good. And NATO, as Mark Rutte said, has never been stronger. And NATO has to thank Trump for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Gordon, I always appreciate your time. And I know you're on the road, so you made extra effort to join us today. But we always appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Larry, because I always appreciate it.
Thank you. Gordon G. Chain, follow him on Twitter, Gordon G. Chain. His latest book, Plan Red, China's Project to Destroy America. Good travels and God bless.
Thank you so much, Larry.
You bet. Yeah, that's, we're hearing, you know, the other nations, they're not even saber rattling. They're just showing up. French President Macron has already suggested, well, maybe Trump's not totally wrong. There's already a break in that armor, right? There will be more to come. Speaking of more to come, one of our new features that folks are loving, and I'm glad to present it to you, the story behind the story. Sometimes these are stories I've been directly involved in. Sometimes I haven't, but it always is a fascinating story. And this next one I was involved in. What was considered the longest Texas prison siege in history. Story behind the story, still to come.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I've told you how Tom Shaw Realtors can help you buy, sell homes, farms, acreage. Listen to what Tom Shaw Realtors did in 2025. More than 100 properties sold, $52 million in sales. ShawRealtors.com. 2026, a great time to visit Lit Cigar Lounge. The Lit Cigar Facebook has numerous events from tastings to music. My main reason for going to Lit is always quality cigars, premium whiskeys. Odds are we'll see each other at Lit Cigar Lounge. A few doors down, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Get a pizza baked over coals. Excellent crust and flavor. Or choose one of the many great pasta dishes. You won't leave hungry. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta and Lit Cigar Lounge in the Chesterfield Valley. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts? Windows icing up again? Utility costs surging? You're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service. Ever been in a wreck or felt as if you've been in a wreck? My advice, contact Dr. Bill Draghi, Esquire Sports Medicine. Yes, they can treat wreck victims, falls, other hazards of life, sports injuries. I go at least twice a month. That keeps the joints in line. Part of your spine get out of line, you start compensating, you're going to have additional pain. Don't be that guy. Visit Esquire Sports Medicine, Big Ben, just north of 40, EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
From the outside, a stark-looking building, the state prison in Huntsville. Within these walls, during the summer of 1974, a siege that gripped America.
Wednesday, a group of convicts headed by murderer Fred Gomez Carrasco have held 11 hostages in the state prison at Huntsville, Texas.
For nearly 11 days, Carrasco tried to negotiate with prison officials. His plan was to escape to freedom and flee to Cuba. During the long ordeal, Carrasco threatened to kill the hostages unless officials met his demands. Across the street from the prison, reporters gathered to cover the story. Among them, journalist Larry Weidman.
Three conspirators led by Fred Carrasco had smuggled in guns in cans of ham and bullets in cans of peaches.
The last newsmen knew, the talks were still bogged down over the hostages Carrasco wants to take with him on an armored car ride to freedom.
Finally, almost 11 days into the ordeal, prison officials agreed to provide an armored truck and getaway for Carrasco in exchange for the safe release of the hostages.
But it didn't go down as planned. We're talking about 1974, Huntsville, Texas prison siege. It was an 11-day prison uprising taking place from July 24 to August 3, 1974, all inside the Huntsville Walls unit of the Texas Department of Corrections in Huntsville, which is where they had Old Sparky when it was being used. And I'll take a note, a side note on this. This is also during the time of Watergate. And so a lot of folks were kind of torn between Watergate and this, but this was right in the backyard of Texas, and they were all interested in what was happening. I was working at the time with Dave Ward and others at Channel 13 in Houston.
By far the biggest story of the year occurred here, behind the walls of the state prison unit in Huntsville. Back in the summer, three desperate men armed with guns staged the most sensational insurrection in Texas prison history. Newsman Larry Connors led a contingent of Eyewitness News reporters and photographers to cover the story of that 10-day-long ordeal.
What you are about to see is really a very basic news story about a convict who plans an escape from prison. But the inmate who does the planning in this case is Federico Gomez Carrasco. There's nothing ordinary about this man, and perhaps that explains why this basic story turned into such an epic.
We demand three bulletproof vests, front and back, six in all. We demand three walkie-talkies, all the same frequency. We demand 3 bulletproof helmets and visors.
Carrasco, Fred Dominguez, and Ignacio Cuevas started issuing their demands on the night of July 24th. It would be the first of many demands over the next 11 days. The convicts had 3 guns, ammunition, and hostages. 7 of them were women. The takeover occurred in the prison library, and there was only one way in. The convicts were in command. The only asset the prison officials had was time. The game plan was to use that time. The more Carrasco could be kept talking, the better chance prison officials had of either convincing the gunman to give up or to find some plan to overpower them.
The inmates who are involved in this act have already been told, were told many days ago, that we would not furnish any body armor, nor would they ever be furnished any additional firepower.
And there it was. It was all still unfolding. You heard them say that they smuggled guns and ammunition in cans of ham and peaches. Their target in going to the library had several reasons. Women worked as volunteers in the library. So they thought, no one will want to see these women hurt. We'll get what we want. So Fred Carrasco and his group had worked with the inmates he had working with him to try to get out of the way to get weapons in. He was already serving a life sentence for killing a police officer, suspected of dozens of murders of those in Mexico and Texas. But once they got the pistols and the ammunition inside, then they carried them inside the library. Once they're inside the library, they pretty much had control, and mostly, as I said, women. When the 1 o'clock work bell sounded, Carrasco walked up a ramp to the third story library, forced several prisoners out at gunpoint. When 2 guards tried to go up the ramp, he fired at them. His accomplices were also armed. They quickly joined him in the library. So immediately we had FBI agents, Texas Rangers, and others. Oh, by the way, on that point of Texas Rangers, national press was flying in from everywhere. We had international press. Crews from Japan and others were coming in. And I will never forget one reporter, which this is a joke that stands forever in Texas, said, "You have a major prison siege here, yeah, and you only have 1 Texas Ranger? Why just 1? The answer, curt, simple, concise, and direct, well, there's only 1 prison siege. And, of course, all the Texas reporters got a laugh out of that New York reporter and his question. But the stakes were high. They were finding or trying to find ways to get listening devices inside the library. But if they were going to drill through the wall outside, they were afraid that would be heard. So they were trying other efforts. And then they're trying to decide, can we possibly breach the library and save everyone? That was not really a good possibility. And over the several days, the convicts wanted several demands. They wanted tailored suits, dress shoes, toothpaste, cologne, walkie-talkies, bulletproof helmets. They got those promptly. But, of course, they were not going to be given any vehicle. An armored getaway car was provided and rolled into the prison yard. And Carrasco said, we're going to flee to Cuba and go join Fidel Castro. Outside the prison wall, there was a large pedestrian walkway that had flowers planted in it. And the warden was very careful about his flowers. He got PO'd numerous times about reporters stepping on his flowers. And for a while you're thinking, where's your bigger concern here? And then a large tarp was set up to protect the flowers and give us some shelter. We had ABC, of course, our network came in. They put up a small tent to work out of. NBC showed up, put up a bigger tent. CBS showed up, put up an even bigger tent. The bigger the tent, the better and more important you were. That was kind of their attitude. But then it came time to what is going to bring this to an end. They could not let them go free, and that they knew that any effort they made could lead to deaths. The 11-day standoff finally came to an end just before 10 on a Saturday, August 3rd, 1974. So there is more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
They used large blackboards on wheels and taped books around these blackboards. As they came down the ramp, the prison officials suddenly ambushed them with fire hoses. The prisoners apparently began shooting the hostages. There was an exchange of gunfire. Two hostages were killed. A third, the chaplain, was wounded. Two of the prisoners, including Fred Carrasco, died.
The siege had ended.
Funeral services were held today in Huntsville, Texas, for the two women hostages who were killed in the shootout this weekend at the Texas State Prison.
As one reporter wrote, it is a tragedy that two hostages died, and it's a miracle that all the rest lived.
And that is true. So they had these two blackboards. They taped books to the outer part of them. They had three of the hostages inside with the convicts, inside the blackboards, so you couldn't identify them. Other hostages ringed the blackboards, and then we're going to walk out. A decision was made, hit them with fire hoses, knock them down. We'll have free shots. One of the hoses ruptured, so they were able to get shots off. And that's when some of the people were killed. Who was killed by what gun at that point? It was unclear. But two of the women were killed, and so was Carrasco, although they say he actually committed suicide. The two female hostages were killed in the incident at that point. There was one who survived of those who had taken the hostages. Ignacio Cuevas, in May 23, 1991, not quite 20 years later, he was sentenced to death for that. And then he was executed on May 23, 1991. And for those who care about it, his last meal request, chicken dumplings, steamed rice, sliced bread, black eyed peas, iced tea. And his last words, I'm going to a beautiful place. Okay, Warden, roll 'em. At that time, old Sparky was still being used, the electric chair. That again went down as the longest prison siege in history. And it all began with a plan to smuggle, with the help of some guard members that were pretty under suspect, and some were charged and some were later having charges dropped, to get the canned hams with weapons inside and get them inside the library where they would have women as hostages. And pretty sure that no one wanted to shoot these women. These were women who were volunteering to help the prisoners, helping them learn to read, pick out books, show them things of interest. And not everyone in the library was part of the takeover at that time, and they were allowed to get free. But one of the efforts that they really wanted to do was see if they could blast a hole in one side of the library and get in inside in time and kill the hostage takers. They decided against that. So when they came out in between those two blackboards, you could not tell where was a hostage. There were three inside, and where were the hostage takers? And other hostages were lining, walking with the blackboard. I would say that the decision to blast them with water was at least an effective effort. Unfortunately, it still led to a couple deaths of the two women. Back in 1999, on the 25th anniversary of that siege, they renamed the Huntsville Unit Education Building as the Stanley Beseda Education Building in honor of those two women killed. But later, they said you need to have a resolution by the Texas legislature for any name change to a state-owned facility. Well, the vote was unanimous for approval. Those were long, hot days in the summer, but we had water, we had shade. Once we had some tents up, those working to get the hostages out alive, trying to bring an end in a peaceful way, a lot of pressure. And as I said, all the networks were there. They were all covering it. You heard that one clip of Harry Reasoner from ABC News reporting it's over. And that one statement is very clear. It's a miracle more were not killed. That was the Texas prison siege inside the walls of the Huntsville prison that began July 24 to August 3, 1974. Are you liking these story behind the stories? Got another one for you tomorrow. Not going to tell you what it is yet, but we will have one. Tell your friends and neighbors, and remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. Ever been in a wreck or felt as if you've been in a wreck? My advice, contact Dr. Bill Draghi, Esquire Sports Medicine. Yes, they can treat wreck victims, falls, other hazards of life, sports injuries. I go at least twice a month. That keeps the joints in line. Part of your spine get out of line, you start compensating, you're going to have additional pain. Don't be that guy. Visit Esquire Sports Medicine, Big Ben, just north of 40. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, a wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts? Windows icing up again? Utility costs surging? You're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products. Exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL.